The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, our end of the week look back, and all kinds of new stuff is going on. If you're checking out our studio webcam, we're trying an experimental streaming live camera so you can see me in full motion and the illusion of three-dimensionality and all the rest of that good stuff. So give that a try out here. A lot of stuff going on here. Phone lines are open, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room, ready to answer your phone call. Chat room is open, and we're ready to go here. Before we start, though, I'm watching over here on the corporate media. I have a pipeline, a cable of the corporate poison flowing into my studio so I can see what the other guy is trying to keep us focused on. And just before we went to air, I'm watching this supposed so-called news program, and in between the constant bashing about Iran, which we're going to get into here in just a couple of seconds, they had a couple of the hot news babes. Used to have newsmen on these shows. Now it's all news babes. Have you noticed that? They got the gorgeous, just stepped out of the modeling magazines, and they're out there with their glittering teeth and their coiffed hair and their lipstick. And this one was just going on about how Bernanke had to be right. The recession must be over because more of her friends were now able to afford their Botox. And I say, okay, this is the measure of the economic recovery? Is the other hot babes are able to afford their cosmetic surgery a little bit more easily? I don't think so. I don't think that's a reliable indicator for the vast majority of Americans, but I think it indicates just how badly the corporate media is deteriorating. I don't know if you picked this up or not. Some years ago, I don't know if they're still in business or not, there used to be a website, and even for a while, a TV channel on cable called Naked News. And it was the funniest thing because it was a news show where the newscasters, male and female, would take off their clothes and report on the current news totally naked. And they had the displays behind them and the subtitles. And it was a real news show done completely naked. And it was just sort of this weird thing. And I'm remembering that only because the more I see the corporate media, the big TV networks, going to the hot news babe, and the more vapid their commentary gets, like the Botox comment, they're not that far apart. Just, you know, we're there. It's a bunch of brainless bimbos trying to be newscasters. Just go ahead and let them take their clothes off and merge the two. Get it over and done with. Anyway, now, speaking of the economy, and in response to the Botox comment, Georgian Bank in Atlanta, Georgia, bit the big one last night. The FDIC went in and closed it down, and they are no more. I have not seen any reports about any other banks, and everybody's saying, oh, it was only one bank. That must be an improvement. No, we're running out of banks is basically what it comes down to. But obviously the big story today is Iran. If you have turned on the corporate media, yet you're seeing the propaganda is just full tilt boogie about Iran's new secret uranium development weapons site, blah, blah, blah. They're pounding on it as hard as they can, as hard as they can. They're just trying to turn this into the reason to go and start killing those gosh darned Iranians right now. And if you watch the show, if you watch their reports, you can see the panic in their face. But it's not panic because they think Iran is really a threat. Here's what's going on. And I want you to pay attention very closely. There's going to be a quiz next period. And I want you to be able to tell this to your friends and get this out here because it's really important. Here's what's going on. Iran is a signer of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Under that treaty, Iran has a legal right to build nuclear power stations and to produce the fuel rods for them. Under Article 4, the United States is supposed to help them do it. The U.S. is not doing it. The U.S. is in violation of the treaty. That's a separate issue here. Under the IAEA rules, any nation that wants to build a new nuclear facility, reactor, enrichment plant, laboratory, whatever, must notify the International Atomic Energy Agency 6 months before the facility becomes operational to give the IAEA time to come in and do inspections. Now, Iran's new facility is still 18 months away from completion. But Iran notified the IAEA last Monday in accordance with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty rules. Iran is in perfect compliance with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So why is the U.S. and Israel panicking? Very, very simple. Two reasons. Contrary to their face-saving propaganda, the U.S. and Israel clearly did not know about this facility before Iran announced it. And the reason we know that is, if the U.S. and Israel had known about it ahead of time, they would have gone public with it immediately before Iran could formally notify the IAEA in order to put Iran on the defensive. You're building this and you haven't told the IAEA? Ooh, bad Iran, bad Iran. So the fact that the United States and Israel have not responded to this facility until after Iran made the formal notification proves they were caught totally off guard. And they're trying to cover it up by saying, oh, we knew about it. We knew that. We knew all about it. We knew all about it for years and years and years and years and years. Obviously, they didn't. And this also casts doubt on the so-called outside intelligence that Israel is citing to claim that Iran is building a weapon, even though the IAEA cannot find any evidence of a weapons program, and every U.S. intelligence agency acting in unanimity has stated in the National Intelligence Estimate on Iran that they are not building nuclear weapons. They have not been building nuclear weapons going back at least to 2003. It's not happening. So, now, I surmise, that Iran announced this new facility right now. They still had another year to go. They only need to give the IAEA 6 months warning. And it's 18 months away from operation. I think Iran did it right now in order to underscore the fact that only last week, Israel told the United Nations to go fill in the word itself when the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution requiring Israel to sign the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and submit to IAEA inspection. So we have here this situation where Israel is clearly not playing by international rules. And Iran wanted to underscore that it is playing by the rules. It is in compliance with the treaty. The new facility is open to IAEA inspections. Come on in, boys, take a look. What Iran is building is a backup fuel rod facility, because you've had Israel talking about bombing Iran's present-day fuel-making facility. So Iran is building a smaller, spare backup deep inside a mountain where Israel can't get at it. That's what they're doing. And they're very open that's what they're doing. And the IAEA is welcome to come in and take a look. And so Iran made the announcement this week, I think to sort of underscore before the eyes of the world, Iran is playing by the rules. Iran is in compliance with the treaty. The U.S. is not in compliance with the treaty. We're not in compliance with Article 4. And Israel has never signed it and is refusing inspections and basically told the United Nations to go jump off a cliff. And I think that's the reason for this big media firestorm to try and put the onus back on Iran when it is clearly Israel that is the rogue nation here. So the U.S. and Israel are trying to save their own face. They're trying to put the blame. They're trying to make Iran is the bad guy. Iran is the bad guy because they notified the IAEA about the facility. Iran is the bad guy because they've got this facility. They're going to let inspections come into it. Meanwhile, Israel is defending their rights by refusing to allow inspections and so forth and so on. I mean, it just you get so caught up in this anger for the situation. And this is hard on the heels of yesterday, where the Barack Obama administration basically admitted they're going to be accessories to Israel's war crimes by using their veto at the United Nations to prevent the United Nations' own report on Israel's war crimes from going to the International Criminal Court. So Israel's a rogue nation. The U.S. is a rogue nation. Folks, we're the bad guys here. And the U.S. and Israel are trying to launch this new war on Iran just to save their own embarrassment. We have the government of the United States and the government of Israel are willing to murder millions of people, including your children, rather than be embarrassed by the fact that Iran is, in fact, in compliance with the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and allowing inspections of their nuclear facilities. Talk about a stupid reason to lose your children in war so that Israel doesn't have to blush before the cameras. It's just nauseating. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more on this subject after these words from our sponsors, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about this very obvious push to war in Iran. And I want to take a little side note here because the corporate media today is all about Iran, bad Iran, this bad Iran, those bad Iranians we have got to, those dastardly Iranians we've got to go kill them for mom and apple pie and whatever other excuse they're going to use this time. But have you noticed the one thing that they're not reporting today in their focus on Iran? Nobody is talking about what conclusions or results came out of the G20 conference. They're still talking about the protests and the bashing of the protesters with their portable torture machines and the gas the gassing of the protesters and the shotgun shell beanbags they were using to shoot at people. They're talking about that, and they're talking about those videos. They're not talking about what decisions, what economic decisions were made by the G20. Last night when I was watching Obama do his final wrap-up speech and he was being fed these very obviously planted questions in the audience about what are we going to do about Iran's secret nuclear facility? And just on and on about that. And I was watching Obama's face. And he's normally very good about the poker face thing. And he wasn't very good last night. And he was trying to make it look like he was concerned and worried about Iran, but he wasn't selling me on that. And remember, there's an interesting exercise when you're watching a politician and you want to get a real read on what's going on. Turn off the sound. Stop listening to the words and just watch the face. Normally, Obama is very good at controlling his face. Last night, he wasn't. I think the news coming out of the G20 was very bad for the United States. And that's coming on top of Iran's announcement that they are dumping the dollar and switching to the euro for their foreign currency reserves, which is going to be another body check on the dollar. And it's probably another reason why the U.S. is saying, we've got to bomb them now. Those dastardly Iranians, they've got nuclear euros and the whole thing. So we're getting into a situation where the U.S. government has basically screwed the economy rather badly, possibly to the point of unrecoverability. They're lying to us about it. Bernanke is still trying to tell us the recession is over, even as the unemployment numbers continue to climb. And most financial experts are saying that the little bit of recovery that we have been seeing is based on these artificial prop-ups like cash for clunkers and the need for businesses to restock inventories that were allowed to deplete over the last year. But once they do that, the buying is going to stop again. Nobody's planning any extensive hiring for the holiday season. It's going to be a very bleak Christmas holiday season. We're all feeling very Scrooge-like. I don't know about the rest of you, you know, but my wife and we haven't bothered with a Christmas tree for like ages and a half. For all I know, that big trunk full of Christmas decorations in storage is nothing but a big pile of mold and rust at this point. It's been that long since I've looked at it. I cannot get into a holiday that is supposed to be about universal peace on earth when we're bombing the people you see in those nativity scenes to steal their oil. I can't get past that. So that's the reason. Otherwise, you know, I love Christmas. I love the decorations and stuff, as long as it's the first couple of weeks before December. It's up in the stores now. By the time December gets here, it's not going to be decorations. It's going to be decor. Anyway, getting back to the situation, watching Obama's face, the G20, I don't think worked out well for the United States. I think we're not out of this mess by any stretch of the imagination, and I think the U.S. government is desperate to escalate the war situation to hide the poverty and privation and starvation and hardship that is about to come by saying, well, there's a war on. Yeah, we're all going hungry, but, you know, we've got to just tough through this because there's a war on. America's enemies are out there aligned against us, and we've got to go kill all those anti-Semites and those Muslims and all those people that caused all this problem. No, they didn't cause the problem. They didn't cause the problem. The United States Congress in 1999 repealed Glass-Steagall. That act had been passed in the wake of the Great Depression, which was caused when banks and investment companies were allowed to dabble in each other's businesses, and it led to runaway speculation that destroyed the stock market. Does that sound familiar? You know, Vujia Day, the feeling that we've never, ever been here before. It's amazing. History repeats. That's what really sucks about history. So 1999, the U.S. Congress, the finest Congress money can buy, repeals Glass-Steagall. and the banks and investment companies, everybody's out there cheering deregulation. John McCain was out there. And it just, they went wild and hedge fund this, and you had some of these Wall Street operators are making billion-dollar salaries a year, $1 billion in a year. It's amazing the kind of money they were racking up. And it was all paper money. It was all this fictionally created fiat currency that's coming out of the Federal Reserve. And they made themselves incredibly rich. And then we started seeing the Enrons start to happen. And began to realize that all these people who were getting incredibly rich were not doing so because they were providing anything of value to the society. They were simply gaming the system. They went in and they bribed congressmen, or in some cases, in the case of California, they literally bought themselves a replacement governor to go in and change the rules to make it possible for vast sums of money to be taken from ordinary people and funneled into incredibly rich, wealthy people who are engaged in the contest as to who can build the biggest luxury yacht in history right now. This is their idea of fun. Let's make an entire state homeless, and I get to build a new 200-foot-long yacht that everybody else will drool over. So we're in this mess, this economic mess, and now on top of that, we, the people, have come to understand the U.S. government is lying to us. They're lying to us about, well, pretty much everything. They lied to us about Saddam's nukes. They've lied to us about the economy. And they've lied to us about the bailouts. Remember a year ago when the bailouts started, when we, the American people, said, please don't give our tax money to the Wall Street bozos who created this mess. And the government said, don't worry. Don't worry about it. We take it. It's a loan. You get your money back. Don't worry about it. Well, and then we find out otherwise. We're never going to get the tax money back that was given to the big three automakers. This last week, the budgetary watchdog on TARP said, we're never going to get that money back either. The Federal Reserve has loaned out trillions and trillions of dollars. They won't even tell us to whom or what collateral was accepted, if any, on those loans. And every time one of these loans fails, whether it's TARP or Federal Reserve bailout or automotive bailout or any of these other programs which have racked up something like $14 trillion in costs, the repayment of those obligations by default goes on to you, the taxpayer. That's something else the government has kind of glossed over. So they lied to you about how the whole bailout was going to recover the economy and it wouldn't matter what the numbers actually said. We were all going to be rich and famous again. And it is not happening. Now they're talking about the jobs recovery, which is basically saying that the people rich enough to go get Botox are still getting their Botox, like the bimbo on the news show said this morning. But for the vast majority of Americans, we're being crushed down into abject total poverty in order to suck the last bit of our money to give to the already rich. Our country has lost the ability to produce anything. So the entire government is basically involved with making you give up what's left of your money to corporations. That's what this whole health care reform is all about. They claim to be reforming health care. When you get right down to the bottom line, they're just forcing you to buy insurance. They're forcing, after trillions of dollars of your tax money went to bail out the insurance companies, now they're going to force you to buy insurance from those same companies. You're getting stuck on both ends. We're going to take another break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. If you're looking through the webcam out there to, I guess it's the right of your frame, you can see out the window. The sun is finally up here on the island of Oahu, and looks like it's going to be another gorgeous and lovely day. And my wife and I are going to be heading out after the radio show to do some shopping and other weekend-type stuff like that. Meanwhile, we want to get back to this situation here. Why the push for war right now? Why the sudden urgency? Why the rush? Okay, to recap, the U.S. government has pretty much mangled the economy. They gave out so many special favors for the rich and powerful and connected. They have thrown the entire economy into this hideously destabilized mess. It is on the verge of collapse. And they're not doing any of the things that would be consistent with trying to recover the economy over the long term. They're not encouraging the return or creation of high-paying jobs. In fact, they seem intent on getting us all to work for minimum wage or darn close to it. And then they turn around and wonder why we're not able to pay these inflated mortgage prices and these inflated medical costs. not to mention the ever-escalating taxes. It is really a situation that cannot go on for very much longer. Something has to give someplace. And there are a lot of angry people out there. The last Rasmussen poll showed 66% of Americans described themselves as angry with the federal government. 36% said they're very angry. I don't think Rasmussen was asking how many of you are ready to get out the tar and feathers and ropes. Probably would have been a very alarming number. So the U.S. government is relying on the fact that throughout the American history, the American experience, the American people inevitably back the government during time of war. Get into a mess, start a war, people will forget about it. We got out of the crash of 1904 with World War I, got out of the crash of 1929 with World War II. Now we're in the crash of 2007. Gee, I wonder why they're pushing for such wars all over the place. Doesn't even matter. Anybody who will go along, let's get the war going. War in Afghanistan, war in Pakistan, war in Somalia, war in Myanmar, more war in Iraq, now in Iran, and now in wherever. It doesn't matter where the war is going to be as long as they can get one going. Trying to kick up a new war up there in Georgia. They're trying to start a major war to evade the consequences of all the mistakes and graft and corruption and cover-up and deception. And the other problem the U.S. government is facing right now is it has become very obvious to the people of the world and the people of the United States that the government has been lying to us about a lot of stuff, not just the economy. Just this last week, the official U.S. government 9/11 commissioners, the people who wrote the official government report on 9/11, have gone public saying it's all based on lies. The official U.S. government report on 9/11 has been denounced as a fraud by the people who actually wrote it. We know the U.S. government lied to us about Saddam's nuclear bombs. We know the U.S. government lied to us about torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. We know the U.S. government lied to us about a Spanish mine in Havana Harbor that kicked off the Spanish-American War. Because of documents declassified in 1994, we know the U.S. government lied to us all about the Japanese surprise attack at Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt goaded them into it and knew that they were coming. Literally ordered a U.S. Navy exercise that was right in the path of the oncoming fleet, ordered them back to Pearl Harbor, no explanation. If Roosevelt had let them continue having their exercise, the Japanese fleet would have run smack into them and the attack would have been called off. And Roosevelt ordered them back into Pearl Harbor without explanation. So, I mean, it's that obvious and that blatant. And it has been all along. It's like the story about the torture. Everybody's acting like, oh my goodness, the U.S. government tortures, like it's a brand new incident. It isn't. We've discovered evidence that's been going on all along. It was just hidden from the American people. So the U.S. government is facing a massive crisis of confidence of its own making. I get emails all the time saying, why are you harming the credibility of the U.S. government? I'm not doing anything of the sort. The government destroys its own credibility every time it lies to the American people. And it seems like it lies all the time. We can't find anything the government hasn't lied about or spun to some benefit or bias. And we're at the point right now where we, the American people, not only have a right, we have a moral duty to go back and re-examine everything we have ever been taught in the state-sponsored schools or on the government-controlled media. We have been lied to so much. We are the most lied to people on the face of the earth. We are utterly clueless about the rest of the world, except for those Americans who have the opportunity to go out and spend a significant amount of time in other countries and get to take another look at the world through different eyes and realize the United States is really in a mess. And so what the government is trying to do is they're trying to kick up a war, and they don't care how many of your kids have to die in it or be crippled in it or how much further it's going to impoverish you. It's all about keeping themselves in power. It's all about tricking you back into obedience. That's what they want. They want obedient Americans. Forget about this land of the free and home of the brave stuff. That's just the ritual incantations that we're all taught to sing and speak and pray before the flag. What the government wants is obedience, unquestioning obedience, and nothing does that like a war. So even though the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are not going very well, even though the attempt to kick up a major border war in Georgia fell on its face, the United States wants to start a new war in Iran. Now, Iran, unlike Iraq, has not been crippled by decades of economic sanctions. The sanctions imposed against Iran limit its access to Western technology and Western resources and Western markets, but Russia and China have gone right on doing business with Iran. Iran is an important trading partner to those two nations. Russia built that power station and is going to build the next one that Iran just announced. Because Iran understands the oil isn't going to last forever. And that's why they're making the investment in switching to alternative energy sources. So the U.S. wants to start a war, figuring, well, we've always won every one of our wars. Hello, Vietnam, ring a bell. And they want to go in there, they want to send your kids in there against an army that is pretty much at full strength. It's not like Iraq, where they were fighting with these old, you know, decades-old surplus material. They're going to be going up against the very most modern machinery and weapons that Russia can supply to Iran, and Russia is going to give them or sell them. Because war is good for the war business, and Russia is in that business along with the United States. And here is where we're really in trouble. Because over the last 30 years, and one of the reasons our economy is in such a mess, is the United States has given away its manufacturing capacity. And it's not like the factories are just sitting there waiting to have the doors unlocked and put people back to work. The factory buildings are empty. The machinery has been stripped off and sold or junked. The buildings, in many cases, simply torn down or collapsed through neglect. We are not the manufacturing powerhouse that we were in World War I and World War II, that allowed us to sustain the levels of material production required to fight and win a major regional or global war. We don't have it anymore. This war that the U.S. government is trying to take this nation into is a war we will ultimately lose. We're losing in Afghanistan. We're barely holding on in Iraq. To take on Iran at the same time, I can't imagine anybody really thinking that this is something that we can win. And you know something? From the point of view of the bankers and the government, it doesn't really matter. Because the bankers want profits, and both sides go into debt in a war. And as far as our government is concerned, they almost don't care if they win or lose. I mean, the government survived losing in Vietnam. They just want an obedient public who are willing to pay for it all. And that is you. And they will lie, cheat, and steal to get your money and obedience. Whether it's Iran's non-existent nuclear weapons program, Iraq's non-existent nuclear weapon program, global warming, green shoots, whatever. Ours is a government that rules you through lies, deception, and trickery. Okay, we're going to put this down because I know you're tired of hearing about it, except I cannot emphasize how important it is that you take a stand against any more war. If we don't fight these guys now, we're going to be fighting for them from now on, is what it comes down to. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Last segment of hour number one here. And I'm checking the email during the break here. We got this comment in response to my comment about why I can't get excited about Christmas anymore and the nativity scenes in the shopping malls. And the writer writes in, I guess those folks in the nativity scenes must have been the good brown people, not the bad ones today that get ordinance instead of frankincense. And I think that's absolutely correct. And that really is the hypocrisy of it. We set up these nativity scenes about all these people, you know, in the Middle East and everything. And these are the people we're bombing to steal their oil or just because they don't like them. I mean, there's another incident today where apparently some Israeli settlers broke into a mosque and desecrated the grave of a fairly important person to the Muslim faith. And sort of imagine what would happen if the Israelis broke into the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem and started messing up that place. How would you feel about it? It's a deliberately provocative act intending to create friction, intending to increase the level of violence. And by the way, Israel has actually done that to a minor degree during that period where they were shooting holes in the side of the Church of the Nativity. There was a photo of the Israeli troops, you know, peeing on the side of the building. And so this kind of stuff just seems to go on all the time over there. And there's this wonderful movie called The Kingdom of Heaven. Orlando Bloom stars in it. And there's this wonderful scene where the defender of Jerusalem is trying to seek peace with Salahuddin. And he's saying, if you try and invade, I will burn all the holy sites to the ground. And Saladin says, I wonder if it might not be better if you did. And it was one of the best lines in the whole movie. What is it about this God stuff that drives normally sane, rational, logical people to such heights of insanity and violence and death? It's just... Somebody once asked me how I felt about evolution, and I said, I sure wish it would get here. I really wish it would get here, because I'm tired of waiting. Now, getting back here to the situation of the current events, there was a comment in the chat room. I'm scrolling back here, and I think I missed it. I'll have to go back and look for it again. Meanwhile, we are getting this group here in McLean, Virginia, the Intel Center U.S., very American-sounding name. It's actually a propaganda group. It's linked to Israel. And seems to be one of these terrorist watch centers which always gets these highly suspicious videos, or in this case, audio tape from Osama bin Laden, before anybody else can get them, before even the Muslims get them. These overtly Israeli pro-Israel groups seem to somehow magically get Osama's tapes before anybody else in the world does. And they've come out with another one in which Osama bin Laden is basically saying, there's going to be another attack. There's going to be another attack. Well, as I said, first of all, this Intel Center that's got these tapes coming out here is a known pro-Israel propaganda site. And second of all, Osama bin Laden died in December of 2001. It's been documented. We've got his obituary scanned from the Egyptian newspapers. It's up at the whatreallyhappened.com right now. We have got numerous citations from corporate media that was reporting in early 2002 that he was dead. And all of a sudden it went away. Because if you're going to create a war, you need a villain. And remember George Orwell's 1984? Emmanuel Goldstein, the supervillain, the government blamed everything bad on Emmanuel Goldstein. Anything the government had to do the people didn't like. Well, we're only doing it because of Emmanuel Goldstein. That's what Osama bin Laden was. He was the manufactured supervillain. And unfortunately, after all the money they invested in public relations to pump him up as a cross between Judas Iscariot and Dracula, he goes and dies. Talk about ingratitude. And so they've kept him resurrected with phony Osamas with very equally, obviously, phony beards. Blurry videotape, very badly edited stuff. And they're trying to keep him alive and use him as a villain. And here's the latest example. Another tape come out. There's going to be an attack. They're trying to keep you afraid. Not Osama. Not terrorists. The government wants to keep you afraid. The governments of the United States and Israel are trying to keep you afraid. They are the terrorists. It is rule by fear. I mean, look at the situation where they had this 19-year-old Jordanian who's been arrested for trying to blow up a building. And then you find out the FBI informants have been working this kid for 2 years. For 2 years, they've been saying, look, don't you want to blow up a building? Don't you want to blow up a building? Yeah, be really good. You'll be famous. Come on. Here's the car. Here's the bomb. Here's the matches. Here's the directions. Here's the map. Here's the GPS. We'll drive you over. We'll put you out on the curb. Just stand here and light the fuses. All you got to do. Boom. Arrest. Headlines. We see it happening over and over and over again where the FBI gets caught creating these situations. This isn't crime solving. It isn't anti-terror. It's entrapment. It's manufacturing a phony threat to scare you into being willing to throw your own children into the fires of the war that the government is trying to start. That's what's going on here. Now, turning to Afghanistan, we're talking about all these wars here. It's getting really bad in Afghanistan. And as I've mentioned many, many times before, the last military commander who was actually able to conquer and hang on to Afghanistan was Alexander the Great, and he only held it for 3 years. That's how tough this place is. During the 18th and 19th centuries, Afghanistan was called the graveyard of empires because of all the would-be empires that went in there and had their rear ends handed back to them on a silver platter. Great Britain, the Ottomans, I mean, it was just one after the other after the other. It is a tough place. Hamid Karzai's government is now talking about a military draft in Afghanistan to deal with the insurgency of the Taliban, which is kind of an interesting choice of words because the Taliban was the government prior to the U.S. invasion and installation of His Excellency from UNICAL, Hamid Karzai. So this is like, well, it's just nonsense. Basically, they're trying to say that the people that they took the country away from are now the insurgency. Ooh, they're the bad guys because they don't realize once we plant this flag here that it's our place according to the rules we just made up. So they're talking about a draft in Afghanistan, and I think it's being floated and reported in the American press as a trial balloon to see how the American people are going to respond to a draft here in the United States, because people, get out your calculators, do some little number crunching, they're already having trouble finding enough boots to put on the ground in our current wars in Somalia and Pakistan and Myanmar and Afghanistan and Iraq and wherever else we've got troops around the world on the ground. And now they're talking about going into Iran. They don't have enough soldiers to do that. There's going to have to be a draft. They're already hiring all the blackwater they can, which is another reason this war has just gone through the roof in terms of financial cost. They're going to have a draft, whether they're going to call it national service or some other little equally euphemistic name. It's still going to amount to the same thing. They're going to start grabbing your kids and sending them off to fight a war on Israel's enemy. And the problem with that is we've already been through it once with Iraq. And if we do it with Iran, it won't be the end of it. Because now Saudi Arabia is talking about their right to nuclear power. And they're talking with Russia about building a power station. So Israel's going to say Saudi Arabia is the threat. We've got to invade them. When you're dealing with a nation whose national character is total paranoia, there will never be an end to the wars they can create for your children to die in. There's always going to be another enemy. If you've ever met a real paranoid, there is no amount of security that makes them feel safe. There's no amount of empty space around them that makes them feel secure. There's always another enemy that must be destroyed before they can destroy the paranoid. And your kids are being sacrificed to that. There's going to be a draft somewhere down the road. Absolutely has to be. Alrighty, so anyway, apparently the Taliban are actually gaining ground in northern Afghanistan. If you look at a map of the place, it's the east that is really the mountainous area. The mountainous area, and if they're moving into the northern Afghanistan, they're gaining ground. We're losing. We're losing this war. And Obama wants to take us into Iran. We'll be back after the news break in about 6 minutes. Call in 800-259-9231. Let's not all wait till the last 10 minutes to pick up that phone. Let's start those calls coming in right now. We'll be right back.
Michael Rivero, What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Welcome back to our live streaming webcam and our chat room and all the other goodies here. We're going to go right to the phones. Peter in California. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Michael. You're talking about Afghanistan, and I know you've seen the reports that they're now saying that they need 500,000 troops in Afghanistan. It was supposed to be some sort of secure report that got leaked somehow.
Yes.
Did you happen to notice that?
Yeah, well, I did, and I think the reason they got it leaked is right now I think the government understands they can't just spring this stuff on the American people without getting extreme anger. So they try and sort of like tease and lead and tease and lead and maybe this and maybe that, so that by the time they finally do what they're going to do, they're kind of hoping everybody will have said, oh, all right, we knew this was coming, no big deal, so forth and so on. So, I mean, nothing really gets leaked unless somebody wants it to be leaked.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that's the case, because maybe that's an indication that Obama wants to bail on this, which is the right thing to do. But 500,000 is more than the entire active army right now.
Yes.
Everywhere, every single Joe Snuffy in the whole army, that would be 500,000 people.
Well, they're talking about drafting among the Afghani people themselves, but of course that is not going to work, because we've already seen this huge problem where the Afghani will sign up with the U.S. forces. In fact, it was happening in Iraq as well. They'll sign up, they'll go through the training, they'll get their weapons and their uniform, and they immediately desert and go over to fight for the other side. And
yeah,
so
as a matter
our
of fact,
kids.
When the Soviets did that and armed the militias and armed the government, when we were working against them in the 80s, our guys, that was great for our guys because it simplified our supply problem. They would just, the Soviet recruits for the Soviet Afghan sympathizers would just simply turn the weapons over to us.
Yeah, so that's over, right.
So, they're also reconfiguring a lot of heavy infantry units right now, mechanized infantry, to light infantry, because mechanized infantry is, of course, useless in Afghanistan.
That's absolutely right.
Helicopters are, we don't have enough helicopters, and the ones we have are worn out.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lot of tanking, and I just saw a report just today where that, we're talking about aerial tankers, the KC-135. The newest one was built in 1964.
Yes.
And, you know, in order to get, it will be years before those can be replaced, and so we are just, you know, screwed here, really.
We've allowed everything to be drawn down, and here's where it really gets ugly, and then we got to let you go because we got another caller waiting. The situation, the reason they're converting these infantry units to light infantry units, as you say, especially when you get into those eastern mountains, it's an absolute trap for any kind of heavy armor. Unfortunately, this puts the burden of carrying all the equipment back onto the American soldiers. And, you know, part of this whole military-industrial complex, let's spend a bunch of money and stick the taxpayers for it. Every soldier has about 70 pounds of equipment now, and they're used to having trucks to carry it for them into these battle zones and these Bradley fighting vehicles and the rest of it. Now they're going to have to start carrying it themselves. Meanwhile, the Afghanis, they know the landscape. They've got all these little hidden caves and caches where they keep the stuff that they're not actually using that very minute. The terrain is on their side. I mean, look at what happened to the Soviet Union in there, and we think that we can go in and do any better than them? I mean, we taught those Afghani people how to defeat a mechanically supported, you know, modern army, and they're going to use it against us. And you're right about the helicopters. Our helicopters are nowhere near as rugged as the Soviet helicopters were. And they know how to shoot those down now. And yes, it's true, the Stingers that we gave the Mujahideen have all expired now and are very dangerous to try and fire. But they're going to get other rockets. I mean, Russia is just going to love to support the Afghanis against the Americans, covertly, the way Charlie Wilson did against them, to sort of pay us back for that. And the Soviets have got some really deadly shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles now that are much more effective than the Stinger. And they're going to use them against us. We can't win there. I don't know why we're even in there. It's not the oil pipeline right of way. It's not Osama. It's just somewhere somebody's saying, let's have a war and grind up a lot of people and grind up a lot of real estate just because it's a lot of fun. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere in the Rothschild castle. There's a couple of people there, you know, just saying, I'll bet you $5 I can start a war here. And the other says, nah, I'll bet you $20 you're going to have to go over to Africa to get a war going. It may just be that silly.
The other thing is that the Russians were operating under rules of engagement, and ours are heinous enough, but not as heinous as the Russians were, and
yeah.
They still couldn't get the job done. And and it was right on their border. So, you know, this is, and it costs about three times more to support one GI on the ground in Afghanistan than it does in Iraq because of the supply problems, landlocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logistical nightmare. We can't politically win the war. We can't militarily win the war. And I don't know why in the world we're still there. It's just bleeding bodies and treasure. You know, it's ridiculous.
We're there as part of a greater plan to basically wall off Russia from the Middle East and conquer all of the Middle East oil fields. Unfortunately, by the time we're done fighting the war, we'll have burned up all of that oil in the tanks and jeeps and airplanes. So it's absolutely insane. Do you realize if we had taken all of that money that has been dumped into the Middle East to this point, including that four times the entire cost of the Apollo moon program we've given to Israel, and we had put that money into pure research for new forms of energy supply and storage, we wouldn't need to be going to the other side of the world and fight over an oil well. We wouldn't need oil anymore other than as a lubricant. It's bad planning. I mean, and it's another example of how the U.S. federal government is so mired in Cold War thinking from half a century ago, they can't live in the 21st century. They're obsolete. They're absolutely obsolete, and this perpetuating this war in Afghanistan absolutely proves that. Peter, we're going to let you go. I've got another caller on the line I want to get to this segment. We're going to switch over to Phyllis. Aloha, Phyllis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I'm in Cape Coral. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have three
mm-hmm.
kids, two in
Good
school.
For you.
My eldest is going to be 12 in January, and he mm-hmm. started middle school, all gifted courses, by the grace of God. And
I'll bet that you had something to do with that.
I hope so. I hope so. I really do. But, you know, I think so. You know, I'm trying to do what, you know, my parents, I had a parent at home, and that's what we're really trying to do.
Yes.
But here's my concerns. I'm having a tendency of, I think what I consider overreach. I think somebody is just reaching too far, too fast. My son went into the gifted courses, and both of my issues that we have had, you know, concerning the past month in school have both been dealing with the same teacher in a history course.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue was that I was the first person in this area to bring to any of our, you know, anything that you'd see on TV to bring it to their attention that mm-hmm. Obama was going to be having a speech. No one knew in our area. I mean, it wasn't known. And they stopped it from happening the first day. And the second day, the superintendent, because he was backlashed so badly, he's actually been asked to step down by a few, you know, higher-ups here in the local mm-hmm. area. And so he immediately put it to mine and my other child's, the entire school district, they allowed it to be put into the library, which my son's history teacher snatched up the very first morning. It was there, which was the next morning. We were never allowed an opt-out of any nature, and it was only because, you know, I like to consider myself in the know, and mm-hmm. my brother-in-law is very in the know, that, you know, I was alerted to it that it was going to happen. They were astonished that we, you know, did not want our son to be a part of it. Because of
well,
the
you know, let me cut
sure.
in here a little bit because I want to draw this to a focus here right now.
Sure.
I think your concern is we're seeing, you know, school doesn't seem to be educating our kids anymore. It's really become nothing but indoctrination. We're hearing that, you know, our high school and college graduates cannot keep up with the academic achievement of other countries, mm-hmm. but they're being filled full of Holocaust education and Recording Industry Association of America education and global warming education and all these things. We will tell you what to believe and what to think and how to obey. And we're seeing these videos of school kids chanting Obama's name and singing songs to Obama, and it's real Hitler Youth Corps kind of stuff that's going on here. Phyllis, stay with us through the commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about this issue about your son being forced to do community service in exchange for school grades. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Phyllis on the phone here. And Phyllis, I want you to clarify this story. Apparently, your son was forced to do community service in order to earn a grade at school.
No, this is actually, we were sent home Thursday after school, a notice that his history teacher for his gifted courses, I do not believe that the rest of the sixth grade is being held to this. But we were sent home, and it clearly states on here, it says, this is an assignment for history class and will become a part of your end-of-the-year evaluation, equivocal to 300 points, and it says that this work must involve the use of your time outside of school hours. The work must be done free of charge. And it says that this year, as a requirement for social studies, you will complete 10 hours of community service. This service is up to you to perform, and it comes along with a filling sheet to fill out the rest of the year. And my son is you know, I mean, if he could be on here, he's a whip. And he said, Mom, isn't this what the judge gave, Chris, I believe it was Chris Brown, when he beat up Rihanna?
Yes.
You know, and he got community service. And my son would like to know, you know, I guess he does not understand the correlation, and neither do I, of community service to his history course.
I don't see it either. I don't understand, you know, how does this benefit the child? I mean, I see how it benefits the government. They're trying to get kids to grow up being used to simply being told to go and do something by the government. I mean, we know that Rahm Emanuel is trying to bring the Israeli system of national service to the United States, where everybody, you know, you're just expected to donate so much of your time to do what the government tells you to do. It's another form of taxation.
Well, we've seen that during Obama's campaign and on his website. He clearly states that he wants to start community service in middle school. And what my question was is I said, well, hon, I asked my son, did you ask her, you know, what's the prevalence and how long has this been going on? What is this?
Yeah, what's the relevance? What is this teaching my kid?
Well, the relevance, I guess they point out at the top, they started with a nice quote from Gandhi. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service to others. So it's... This is not, I just don't, it just says, a good education includes a wide variety of experiences. Helping others can lead to discovering many things about yourself and the world around you.
Phyllis?
Yes.
Do yourself and myself and your son a favor. Go get the Constitution and read the 13th Amendment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'm going to let you go here. We're going to get back to talking to some other things. So, Phyllis,
thanks
an awful lot. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I think one of the reasons that Phyllis is upset, and so am I, we've been seeing all these videos about kids in school being taught these chants and songs about Obama, and it is the kind of mindless indoctrination that you will see in, well, Sunday school. And certainly, you know, in the very earliest formal education, you know, you're taught to salute the flag and recite the prayers and the formulas and the incantations and candu and responto and all the rest of whatever they're going to call it here. And it's just a way of indoctrinating people with a certain set of beliefs in order to control them later in life by controlling those beliefs. And again, they're going right out of Hitler's playbook. Hitler did the same thing with the young people of Germany. Parents, wake up. The reason they created a society where both parents have to work just to pay the bills was to get them out of the way of the government brainwashing your children. Germany did it. The Soviet Union did it. Now the United States is doing it. And that's the goal. Get the parents away from the kids so that the government can come in and start playing with their little tiny impressionable brains. We're going to go to the phones. Brother Solomon, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Sarava, meu querido hermano Ribeiro, and I salute you instead of the flag.
Ah, well, I don't know. I'm getting complaints about this green shirt I'm wearing, so maybe you shouldn't salute me until I get more appropriate color shirt.
I salute you, and I salute your distinguished audience. And I'm angry, and I don't think it is a waste of time being angry.
Okay.
Listen, brother, if we get angry when we step on a dog door that a dog owner careless abandoned in front of our home, how much more we should really be angry when a criminal corporate oligarchy military dictatorship showered us with feces 24/7, 365 days a year?
Well, we should be angry. And, you know, we've been through all of this decade where they're saying anger is bad. You should go to anger management. Never let your emotions show. Don't hate. You know, hate gets a bum rap. There are certain individuals and certain institutions that are worthy of being hated, that they deserve to be hated. And hate and anger and passion is what fuels revolution and change. Nothing great is accomplished without passion. It's okay to be angry at what's going on. I encourage people to be angry at what's going on.
Exactly. Dear Brother Rivera, I would like to publicly say thank you for your voice, thank you for your effort, your commitment, your courage to be the visible face of all of us who have very few outlets to express and reassure you that I know that is your program, it is your time, that you are the conductor, and when sometimes it seems I'm trying to overlap my voice over yours, it's not like that. Let me inform you that at this pay phone, there is noise, and I want sometimes make my voice loud and clear so you and the rest of the audience can really hear me, and I really know the radio rhythm, and I'm trying to speed up my contribution, and sometimes I do have about 2 seconds delay. So last time, I heard silence, and I thought you were giving me green light to continue. That's the reason I was responsible for my interruption last time that we talked over the phone and through the airwaves. So my apologies in that case.
Yeah, the delay on the digital lines can be a little disconcerting, and it takes a little bit of getting used to. I know it was one of the issues I had to deal with when I first started this show, the delay between when my callers would start talking and I would actually hear them. But you do get used to it over time, and so I'm sure it will all work out. Anything else for you today, Brother Solomon?
Yes, I have a little thing that all the day I will go a little bit longer. I just want to make that clarification because it sounds like last time that I was trying to overlap you with my comments.
It's not a problem.
Yours.
We're almost to the end of the segment. Please, what else do you have to say?
Yes. Well, I read a couple of two entries in a word dictionary for weapons of mass destruction is DOD, Department of Destruction, and liar is under Obama.
Well, you know, the problem is they're changing the definition of weapon of mass destruction so they can use it all over the place, and the ordinary people don't understand. They're not talking about chemical and biological and nuclear weapons. They're talking about large shotgun shells and, model rockets with more than a 4-ounce engine are being described as weapons of mass destruction just so that they can use the phrase in the newspapers to keep us all afraid.
Exactly. Well, that's the reason I say Department of Destruction, former Department of Defense is the most clear weapon of mass destruction.
Oh, absolutely. I remember it when the movie Dr. Strangelove came out, and they had that big sign in front of the military base, "Peace is our profession," and everybody laughed when they saw that. Because they understand. No, the Department of War makes money when there's a war, and they're going to create one. Brother Solomon, we have to let you go. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with the next segment of our show after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network. Tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We've got a couple of callers on the line I'm going to get to in a minute, but I want to cover a couple of things. First of all, I'm watching on the corporate media feed, and they're doing a show right now on limb lengthening surgery, which is basically, it's a gory thing to watch, where they're taking children who don't feel their arms and legs are long enough, and they break the bones and stretch them. And I understand for somebody who's dealing with a birth defect or an accident, this is a necessary procedure, but here they're just talking about where just people who just want to grow up taller than they normally would. And I have to tell you, this whole idea of cosmetic surgery just offends me. I think people are beautiful the way the universe made them, and this idea of submitting yourself to these invasive and chemical procedures to match some rather arbitrary definition of what constitutes beauty. I think it's a little sick. That's just me. Now, a local story one of our readers put up on the site, down on Maui, a Vietnam War veteran has just lost his house to civil forfeiture laws regarding some marijuana found in his car 3 years ago. They just took his house away. Honorable discharge from Vietnam, was basically considered, you know, using the marijuana to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, was an activist for other veterans, member of the community, family guy, just a nice guy, just a nice guy. They caught him with some marijuana that was over the legal limit for personal use, which is a smaller fine, and they just took his house. And this despite a recent voter referendum on Maui saying that the people said we want the marijuana laws enforced last of all. After you get all the murderers and the rapists and the burglars and everything else and they're in jail, then if you want to go enforce the marijuana laws, go ahead. The county government of Maui said, no, 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 we've got to crush down the scourge of marijuana because, you know, the CIA is making tons of money smuggling cocaine and opium into this country and this locally grown Pakalolo is cutting into their profits. Or I don't know what the reasoning is, but that was the situation. And I point this out only because do the police not really have real crimes to deal with instead of taking this guy's house over some locally grown marijuana? And when you take this story about an honorably discharged Vietnam veteran losing his home because of some pot, happening pretty much at the same time the United States government has vowed to do all it can to prevent the United Nations from reporting Israel to the International Criminal Court for war crimes, does it not seem like the pinnacle of hypocrisy to take this guy's house over some marijuana at the same time you turn a blind eye to torture, to blowing up civilians, to dumping white phosphorus all over schools and UN facilities, I might add? Seems like a little bit of a double standard. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. John in Ohio. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just heard a few minutes of the program mention of Iran, and I really appreciate what you're completely exploding all of this accelerating propaganda to drag us into another even bigger disaster against Iran, using the same lies, the same propaganda MO to justify plunging us into an even bigger disaster. I think the media has to be the number one target for protest, and it seems that the leaders of the so-called anti-war movement were really never anti-war; they were just anti-Republican wars. And now that they've got their Democrat warmonger into office, it seems that everything's fine, and there's this whole attitude as he rampages around the world, gives trillions to the Wall Street vultures, to the insurance giants, to the military-industrial complex, and tries to pump up another war against Iran, expanding the war beyond even Bush, whatever Bush did. They're just saying, give him a chance, give him a chance. It's incredible.
No, I would disagree with that. I know we heard that from some of the Democratic anti-war activists, but I think those of us nonpartisan anti-war activists, the honeymoon is definitely over. In fact, it's one of the shortest presidential honeymoons in American history.
Well, you may be
and
right.
As I said, if you look at that latest Rasmussen poll where 66% of Americans are angry with the federal government, that has to include a lot of Democrats and Republicans. 36% are very angry with the U.S. federal government. At this point, this idea that it's a Republican or a Democratic anything is a false dichotomy. It is we, the people, against a government that has gone hideously wrong. There are a lot of protests out there. They're not getting media coverage. The media has been told, do not cover the protests. The only time they cover the protests is when they're already being covered on the internet in such volume that it would be obvious that the corporate media is trying to ignore them. That's why we got the coverage for Washington, D.C. a week ago. That's why we got some coverage in Pittsburgh this last week.
Yeah.
But that Saturday that we had the big one in Washington, D.C., there were protests in 20 other cities that did not get any media coverage at all.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is the media, and they have to be protested as much as these bloodthirsty warmongers and the military-industrial
government. I got a better idea. Let's ignore them. Nobody's watching them anyway. That's why the newspapers are going to the government for a bailout. Everybody's here on the blogs. Everybody's here on the alternative media. The audience is here. Our numbers are going up. The corporate media is whining and whimpering and saying, you know, we can't sell advertising, we can't do this, and we can't do that. They've lost control of the minds of America.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right, because they will not allow any criticism of Obama's duplication of Bush's policies, domestic and warmongering abroad, from the left. They will not allow that because they want to keep everybody's
brain. Why they're losing their audience. That's why they're losing their audience.
Yeah, and I think if, as long as they can keep at least a large segment of the audience trapped into this Republican criticism of Obama, which he loves because it makes him look good. If they call him incredibly a socialist when he's actually the exact opposite, well, a lot of people, when we're heading into a disastrous depression, will say, well, maybe we need a little of that socialism, and he loves it. And the Republicans know full well that he is not anything along those lines, but they're trying to massage that base of who've had that demonized word socialism pumped into their head as the incarnation of the devil by all of the institutions of society for generations. But they will not allow anything from the left, a real socialist like, say, WSWS.org or even non-ideological globalresearch.ca or any of these others, because as Gore Vidal once said, we got a one-party system in this country with two right wings. And though some of these terms may not be all that useful, I think it is still useful to point out that Obama is a right winger, and you got people like there's a guy who the big guy that has done these documentaries. What's his name? I'm blocking.
Michael Moore.
Yeah, he's done a he was asked why. Are you still apparently supporting him when he's, waging these wars and selling out to the Wall Street interest? And he said, well, I think he's just playing a coy game to move right and then later move left. He's slaughtering people around the world. He's getting
okay, can I cut in here for just a little bit? There's something you need to understand about Michael Moore, and I have every intentions of seeing his new movie, okay?
Yes.
But you need to understand that Michael Moore's business agent is Rahm Emanuel's brother. So,
wow.
Of course, he is not going to cross that line there.
Wow.
Now, as far as socialism is concerned, we've gone past socialism. We are a fascist economy. In socialism,
exactly.
Profit and loss is socialized across the entire society. In fascism, profits are kept private, and only the losses are socialized across the society. That's where we are. We are in this terrible situation where the Republicans are accusing the Democrats of being socialists, and the Democrats are accusing the Republicans of being fascists, and unfortunately, they're both right. And the biggest problem we have is a government that is continuing to this very day to try and play us off against each other out of their fear that we are going to unite against the real cause of our nation's decline, which is the government itself. I mean, Obama's trying to play the racism card. If you're opposed to our policies, you must be a racist, as if, you know, we would be okay with a white guy who was making all these wars and lying to the people. All right, anyway, John, we got to let you go. We will be back after these words from our sponsors. Thank you for the call.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back. Last segment of the show today. It has just flown by. Thank you to everybody who called. You always make it a much more enjoyable experience, at least for me. I'm pretty sure the other listeners would agree with that. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got John in Texas. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today? Is John in Texas there? Going once, going twice. All right, I guess John... Okay, well, if he comes back, we'll go back to him. And in the meantime, I want to move on to another story. I ran this article at whatreallyhappened.com a few days ago. The headline was Restoring the Right to Resist. And I got a lot of very hostile email regarding this article, especially from police officers, for reasons that will become very clear. And basically, the substance of the article is that while police departments and district attorneys and city attorneys around the country take the position that you are not allowed to resist an arrest even if it is an illegal one, The United States Supreme Court has always held that a police officer who kills a civilian in the course of an illegal arrest is guilty of murder and should be punished as such. And conversely, that a private citizen who shoots a police officer trying to attempt an illegal arrest is within his legal rights to use force to protect himself in his home. And the reason for this precedent is very simple. We have seen time after time after time where the DEA, especially in the BATF, will kick down the wrong door and go into a home with guns blazing. And obviously, the residents of those homes who are innocent of any wrongdoing have a right to defend their lives and property against what is an illegal intrusion. And this idea that we should allow the police to arrest us and handcuff us and beat us and entrap us, you know, even when they're acting outside the bounds of the law, is absolute nonsense. It's very self-serving to the police state mentality to train the American people to always bow down and say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but yeah, go ahead and arrest me anyway, and I'm sure that, you know, in a week or two when you figure out I'm really innocent, you'll let me out of jail. But then tell that to people like James Earl Ray or Leonard Peltier or Bruno Richard Hauptmann, who are all recognized now to have been railroaded into prison for political reasons. Ask the guys that the FBI just got done paying a $100 million settlement to for intentionally and knowingly framing them and sending them to prison. And so the reason I put this story up, as we head into this police state mentality, where the cops are just kicking down doors left and right with impunity, they don't have a right to do it. If you have not committed a crime and the police are breaking down your door, or any law enforcement, federal, state, county, whatever, the dog catcher, and they're trying to kick down your door and you have done nothing wrong, you have a legal right validated by the United States Supreme Court to defend your home and your property with lethal force if necessary. And I need to get that out there because we're hearing that more and more American homes are purchasing firearms and ammunition and stocking up. They know a confrontation is coming with the government. Pittsburgh was the first sign. People were out there exercising their First Amendment right to protest, to peacefully assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances. Free speech zones are unconstitutional because of the part of the First Amendment that says petition the government for redress of grievances. When that was written, there was no telephone or telegraph or television or radio or internet or blogs or Twitter or anything. To petition the government for redress of grievances meant you got to walk up to the government, its place of business. You got to knock on the door. You got to talk to a real government legislator and say, we're ticked off because you guys are doing, and then you would have that little dialogue. And that politician, that legislator would look out at that assembled crowd and say, boy, there's a lot of unhappy people here. We'd better deal with this before it gets out of hand. That's what the First Amendment is for. It gives you the right to directly confront the government about what the government is doing wrong. So free speech zones are unconstitutional. The attempt to keep protesters away from government people is unconstitutional. And this last week in Pittsburgh, we got a taste of things to come. The police were out there with their portable torture machines. They gassed the protesters. They were driving them with these shotgun shell beanbag weapons that they love to use. And they were out there with the LRADs, which are machines designed to inflict pain. For all the high-tech spin that they put on this, this is simply flogging the serfs back to where they belong. Flogging the uppity serfs, flogging the uppity slaves back to where they belong, back to the farms and fields, go out there, work, pay taxes, and breed soldiers. That's your role in our society. You don't have a right anymore to tell the government you think the wars are wrong, or so goes the thinking. But when the government decides to en masse inflict torture on the crowds to drive them, then we have really seen this government go completely off kilter. When their response to the legitimate grievances of the American people is to inflict pain on a broad-based mass production line basis. It's not enough they're torturing people in Abu Ghraib or the new one, Bagram. Now they've got machines in the streets of America designed to inflict pain on vast crowds of citizens to make them go away because we don't want to hear that they're unhappy. We don't want to smell the sweat they've worked up making us all rich. When we talk about a fascist dictatorship taking root in the United States of America, those torture machines on wheels are the visible manifestation of a government that sees you as little more than a herd of animals to be harvested when possible, to be driven out of sight when it's not practical. So that's what's going on in this country. And you have a legal right to resist unlawful acts according to the United States Supreme Court, which means at some point, when the government is inflicting pain and punishment on people without due process, somebody's going to start fighting back and figuring out a way to disable those little pain machines. And that's when the crowd is really going to start turning on those people driving it. Meanwhile, do you remember back during the botched attempt to replay the 1953 coup d'etat in Iran that happened a couple months ago, and how the U.S. corporate media was just going on and on about those mean old Iranian policemen and how cruel they were being to the protesters? Well, I'm sorry, I don't recall seeing any Iranian police out there with shotguns shooting at the protesters, and I don't recall seeing any Iranians out there with sound and microwave torture devices on wheels using them on the crowds. And yet, the criticism that was aimed at the police in Iran is not being echoed against the police in Pittsburgh. Quite the contrary. The corporate media seems to say, yes, drive those slaves back into their hovels where they should go. How dare they stand up and say the wars are wrong when Israel has told us how right they are? How dare they complain about high taxation? They think taxes are high now. Oh, boy, wait till they see what we've got coming for them next year. Then they're really going to scream. The Declaration of Independence says that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. I want everybody out there listening, if you consent to be tortured by the government just for standing up for your First Amendment rights, raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? I don't see any hands being raised. Anybody? Okay, I think basically the point was made here. I don't consent to be tortured by the government for daring to stand up and say the government is wrong. The Constitution says I have a right to say that. And more to the point, it says I have a right to say it to the face of the government people. Joe Wilson had a right to stand up in Congress and shout at Obama that he is a liar when Obama is in fact lying to us all. We the people have a right to stand up and should stand up to everybody in the media and the government when they lie to us and scream, you are a liar, I don't believe you. And the more Americans who do that, the more that you stand up in public town halls, in TV studios, call into the radio stations, call into the newspapers, and you say, you are lying and I don't believe you anymore. We can shake their confidence. We can make them doubt their ability to trick us into another war. And if we can all make them doubt, if enough of us stand up and scream liar at the war hawks, maybe, just maybe, they'll call it off. I need your help on this. I need you to stand up with me and say, you are all liars, and I don't believe you anymore. Have a good weekend. We'll be back Monday, 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Genesis Communication Network. Thank you for listening. Please tell all your friends about the show. Tell your local AM and FM stations about the show. We're out there trying to reach people. We're trying to stop World War III. That's what we're trying to do here. I need your help. Aloha, America.